You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, July 3rd, 2016, by the Reverend Karen Hagg, Associate Rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submitted to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In 1953, Mildred Lissette Norman took the name Peace Pilgrim and set off on foot to walk for peace. She took with her no purse, no bag, no coat, no walking stick, no food, no credit cards, no money. For 28 years, she walked, keeping her vow to remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace, walking until given shelter, and fasting until given food. A deeply spiritual person, Peace Pilgrim had had a mystical experience of her Creator's unfathomable love, an experience so profound that the only possible thing she could do in response was to make God's love known in the world. For her, that meant giving away everything she owned and setting out to advance the cause of peace, one step at a time. In the end, she walked tens of thousands of miles speaking and teaching the way of peace. She was often heard to say, "In order for the world to become more peaceful, people need to become more peaceful." She did not walk to find peace. She walked to help others find peace. In 2009, Daryl Watson, a young up-and-coming New York playwright, took a bus to Cape Henlopen, Delaware. He checked into a motel and sent a mass email to everyone he knew. In that email, Daryl told them he was giving away everything but the clothes on his back, that he would spend 6 months walking across the United States on a pilgrimage for peace, and from that point forward would be known as Peace Pilgrim. He tore up his driver's license, wiped his computer clean of everything he had ever written, and left a note for the motel cleaning staff, leaving them his computer, his iPod, and his phone. In the morning, he got up, put on the T-shirt he'd spray-painted with the words Peace Pilgrim on the front and Walking Coast to Coast for Peace on the back. And he set off for California, one step at a time. Take nothing for your journey. I have to tell you that whenever I read this passage, it really stops me in my tracks. Take nothing for your journey. This Thursday, I will go to Sun River to vacation with my sister and her family. I already have my list of things to take with me. Sunglasses, extra sunglasses, sunglasses, reading glasses, glasses. Oh, and extra glasses. I'll want flip-flops and hiking shoes, kayaking, walking, and out-to-dinner shoes. I'll need the little backpack for the bike riding, the bigger backpack for the hiking, the picnic pack, the water bottle, the commuter mug, and the cooler for all the food we'll bring. Of course, I'll need my knives and lots of spices and rubs, two pre-made batches of sleepover coffee cake, the garlic press, panini grill, mortar and pestle, standard condiments, and perhaps a couple of cookbooks to read. I'll need my phone and phone charger, the iPod, my toiletries, a purse, clothing, my prayer book and a Bible, a book to read for fun, my computer so I can work on my next sermon, the scarf I'm knitting for a friend for Christmas, and many, many, many other things that I am sure I haven't even thought of yet. Take nothing for your journey. But I'm going on vacation, and that requires specific accoutrements. I can't possibly take nothing for my journey. Or can I? What would happen if I showed up in Sun River without all that stuff? Would there be knives in the kitchen drawer? Could I kayak in my bare feet? Would the sweet sound of high desert bird song and the gentle rippling of the lazy Deschutes River be music enough for my soul? Take nothing for your journey. This is not the first time Jesus says these words, you know. He said them to the 12 disciples the very first time he sent them out to spread the good news of God's great love and to bring peace to all the world. Luke tells us that when Jesus first gathered them together, he conferred power and authority on them. And then, only then, did he send them out on their mission for God. When Jesus told those 70 friends that they were to take nothing with them, not a walking stick to help them when the terrain gets rough, not a suitcase containing holy scripture books so they could preach and teach with authority, no food to eat, and no means to purchase any of these things, it was because he had already given them everything they needed. They'd been watching him for a very long time, awestruck by his miracles, captivated by his parables, spellbound by his teaching. They knew who Jesus was. They knew the love that God offered, and they knew they had a part in bringing God's kingdom to bear. And Jesus? Jesus knew they were ready, that they'd been given everything they needed, because all they really needed was to rely completely and utterly on God. That's what Peace Pilgrim knew too, and it's all we really need to know. The kingdom of God comes among us through God's extravagant love. As it turns out, the very existence of the kingdom of God depends on conveying God's love. We offer God's love to one who offers it to another, who offers it to another and another and another. And each time we do that, the kingdom comes a little closer. Every time we offer mercy or kindness or forgiveness, every time we stand against injustice or hatred or falsehood, every time we are brave enough to be vulnerable, transparent, and true, every time we're willing to go where we are sent and pay attention when we get there so that we can offer God's extravagant love in a way that is recognizable to God's beloved. Every time we do those things, the kingdom comes a little closer. That's what the original Peace Pilgrim did, you know. She walked around in the world, vulnerable and transparent and true. And everywhere she walked, she offered God's extravagant love by proclaiming God's profound and deep peace. As for Peace Pilgrim number two, on the third day of his walking, he wrote his first and final blog post. It was only 7 words long. It said, "Peace Pilgrim down. Repeat. Peace Pilgrim down." Daryl had gone walking to find peace, not to offer it. To find himself, not to offer himself. To find God, not to proclaim God. And while all those are admirable quests, Daryl left before he was ready. He had wanted to emulate the original Peace Pilgrim, but he didn't have what she had. She knew God. And her deeply prayerful life brought her into such communion with God that she was permeated with peace. She became peace. But Daryl hadn't come to that prayerful place, and he hadn't found the peace he so desperately wanted to offer others. But you know, the funny thing is, on day three, when Daryl gave up trying to live someone else's calling, noble as it was, when he called his mom and told her how cold and tired and sad he was, when he told himself and the whole world the truth, when he finally became vulnerable and transparent and true, only then could he begin his own journey toward peace. When Daryl set off on his walk with nothing more than the clothes on his back, a compass, a map, a toothbrush, and a bottle of hand sanitizer, he looked like he was vulnerable and transparent and true. But as it turns out, Daryl was hiding from himself. He was hiding behind someone else's idea of what it is to live into the glorious life that God has given him. And while it took some time, Daryl returned to the life that was his own. And instead of trying to figure out the meaning of life, he just started living it. See, I am sending you out as a lamb among wolves, but you'll be okay because you have each other. Don't bother with the things you think will protect you, those things you've always thought would keep you safe. Your money cannot protect or save you. Being prepared with extra clothing cannot save you. You cannot possibly carry enough food to keep you fed for this mission. And your walking stick? That isn't what you need to lean on, and it will not protect you from the wolves. Instead, take a brother or sister in Christ with you. Go two by two into the world proclaiming, "Peace be with you." If people don't like it, shake it off and move along. Don't be distracted by those who would dissuade you from your work, from what you know to be true, from what you know you're being called to do. Never mind the wolves. Take nothing for your journey, Jesus says. Don't worry about finding your way. I am the way. Don't worry about seeking the truth. I am the truth. Don't worry about being a lamb among the wolves. I will care for you. I am life itself. Stay together. Keep your eyes on God. And don't mistake arming yourselves with money or possessions or status or even weaponry for being safe. It's not safe out there, but that is not your concern. Stay together, keep your eyes on God, don't be distracted from what really matters, and don't be afraid. The God who knows you and loves you and calls you and sends you has promised to be with you always. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.